Good morning. My name's Gareth, and thank you for inviting me to talk at this service this morning. I grew up in St. Morne Baptist Church, and it is always a privilege to have the opportunity to come back and speak with you. I look forward to being able to visit again in person soon, but until then, I'm glad we've got technology which allows us to talk in some way. For those of you who may not know me, I am the son of Adrian and Kay Cheeseman, who are wonderful parents who, if you want to talk to them about any of the work that I do or anything, I'm sure they'll be happy to talk to you after the service. The other thing you might want to know about me is I work for a Christian charity called Asset UK. We were founded over 30 years ago as a compassionate response to the HIV pandemic. We do a variety of projects overseas and in the UK. In the UK, my work is focused on going into schools and providing relationships and sex education from a Christian foundation. But I'm not here today to talk about my work. Today we're here to talk about a passage from Matthew. And I'm going to start by having a quick prayer before we get into the passage. Lord, I thank you that we have your word to learn from, your word to study. Thank you for the opportunity to draw closer to you in everything that we do. Lord, guide me as I share today. Help me to share what you're putting on my heart to share. And Lord, for everyone listening, I pray that you open their heart to hear what you're speaking to them this morning. Help them to ignore the bits of my talk which are rubbish and not applicable, and hear the message that you've got in mind for them today. Amen. So we're looking at the temptation of Christ, and we're going to be reading from Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All of these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is a really curious story, and it comes early in Jesus' ministry. It's after his baptism in the River Jordan and before his ministry, his 3 years of ministry that we got the bulk of the Gospels focusing on, before that time started. And what we have is Jesus doing something which became a hallmark of his entire ministry, was that before and during times when he wanted to draw close to God, he would take himself away into the wilderness to pray, to fast, to draw close to his Father. And in this time of this retreat and focusing on God, we have a record of the temptation that he's facing. And this morning, what I want to look at is three things. I want to look at the nature of temptations that Jesus faced. I want to think about how Jesus reacted to temptation, and then what we can learn from that and how we might want to, or how we hope to react to temptation. Firstly, let's look at the actual temptations that Jesus is facing. The first one is about bread. We've got here, Jesus is famished. He's fasting. And the temptation that is offered to him is about comfort, meeting his physical need. But not just comfort in an abstract way, but comfort in a very immediate, physical, practical way. But without the hard work. Without the hard work required to achieve that comfort. It's a shortcut. It's convenience. It's just take the food that you want. Don't worry about having to work for it. Just go for the comfort that you require now. The second temptation, we see a temptation about risk and safety. The temptation of put yourself at risk and see if you're kept safe. That temptation of aspire to safety over all other. And then the third temptation, we have a temptation of power. Do you want power? How will you use power? How will you take power? So we've got comfort, safety, and power. And these temptations that Jesus is facing, we shouldn't see these as temptation light. You know, we have indication through scripture that, you know, Jesus didn't get an easy ride. These temptations are significant. And in our world at the moment, we need to think, how does that apply to us? Over the last year, it's been rough for a variety of reasons. And the best way I've heard it being expressed is we're all going through the same storm, but we're all in different boats. Some of us may have suffered more, some of us may have suffered less. And we may have learnt to deal with the pressures and the stresses of life by seeking physical comfort. And that's not a bad thing. Bread in of itself is not a bad thing. But a shortcut, lowering your standards, seeking comfort, convenience, at the cost of losing your relationship with God, that is a temptation. Sacrificing what is right living for comfort, immediate gratification. And then this middle one of safety, where we've got a temptation of just, you know, be play it safe. You'll be safe, right? You can test this and you'll be safe. An unwillingness, a temptation of going, this is only true if you are kept safe from harm. Test God to see if you're kept safe. And then finally, the one of power. Now, this one is interesting because out of all humans, the Son of God probably has the most legitimate claim to be the ruler of the whole earth. This is not an idle temptation. Jesus, as the Son of God, had birthright, had the privilege that this could have been how he acted. He could have claimed power over all the nations of the earth, over all the kingdoms. Now, I don't believe many of us today have the capacity that we're going to become world dictators. We're going to take over the whole world. That may not be a temptation that we face. But all of us do have the potential to be tempted by power, because we all have the potential. We all have certain privileges. And depending on who you are, your life, your circumstances, things that within your control and things outside of your control, in an unequal society, in an unequal world, that comes with privilege. And with privilege, you have the capacity to draw power over other people. So we live in an unequal society, whether we look at it at an international scale between richer countries and poorer countries, whether we look at it at a national scale, the different hierarchies of power which exist, even down to a local level and a community level, there are hierarchies of power which come inherited, and they're multi-generational and they're complex and they're not the focus of today. But an interesting temptation to think about is, are these temptations, are we tempted by the privilege we hold to use power in an ungodly way? I wonder if that is how you think about temptation. When you saw the title of the talk for today and you heard me reading that, what temptations came to your mind? Were there temptations of power, safety and comfort, or were there other temptations? There's no reason to suggest these are the only types of temptations. There's lots of ways we may be tempted. But I think it is important to consider these because they strike at core attitudes. Are we willing to be uncomfortable? How do we perceive our safety? How do we perceive trusting in God? How do we perceive power and our use of our privilege in the exercise of power? How do we deal with those temptations which speak to character and our relationship with God? Well, let's think about also how Jesus responded. And actually, I want to start by thinking about how Jesus didn't respond to these temptations. Because firstly, he didn't blame himself. And this may sound like a strange place to start, but if you think about the narrative that sometimes builds up around temptations, it can sometimes be very much blaming ourselves. I might say, you know, the fact that I experienced this temptation is evidence of how wicked I am, how terrible I am. We need to be really careful with that fault line, because that can spiral really easily. I must be wicked for having this temptation, and therefore, I can't pray to God today. I'm so wicked, I'm so terrible for even being tempted to do this thing, whether I do it or not. But the mere fact I was tempted by it means that I can't read the Bible today. I can't go to house group. I can't pray. And if we turn that blame upon ourselves, it can achieve what temptation may be doing anyway, driving us away from God, building a wedge, building a wall between us and God. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't blame himself. He didn't say, I'm terrible for wanting food. I'm terrible for being tempted by this power that's being offered to me by the privilege that I hold. No, instead, Jesus recognizes that the response isn't to blame yourself. Secondly, Jesus didn't blame the object of the temptation. So what do I mean by that? He didn't blame the stones. And if we read the Gospels, we don't see that Jesus is always shy of speaking to nature, thinking of a certain fig tree. But Jesus, in this case, doesn't blame the stones. He doesn't go, oh, you terrible stones. How dare you look so much like a loaf of bread? You're very round. You look like you could be bread. It's your fault. Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't blame the pinnacle, saying it's your fault for being so high. He doesn't blame the kingdoms. It's your fault for being so conquerable. Jesus doesn't blame the object of the temptation, externalizing temptation to put the weight of responsibility on the external. And the reason I bring that up is because in my understanding of temptation, this can lead to some very unhelpful ways of being and acting. I see this playing out, and for a moment I just want to talk for a little bit about sexual temptation. And we see this being played out in school corridors, really sadly, that a persistent issue that we may see in my work in schools is young men, particularly, usually, acting in a sexualized way to young women, in a very disrespectful way. And it's interesting to see how different schools respond. Some schools respond by talking to the young men about their attitude. But more frequent than I would like, the response is to blame the young women. It's your fault for dressing that way. It's your fault for acting flirty. It's your fault for leading them on. And that kind of behaviour can just kind of lead to this, well, that's just the state of affairs. We don't need to address maybe this larger cultural attitude about the way that men degrade women because, oh, we can just tell the women that they need to police their own behaviour. They need to change. And not look at, what's going on here? Why are we allowing that to happen? That is a very common part of a lot of young people's lives. An uncommon but an extreme result of this kind of thinking of blaming the object of your temptation can be devastating. And I want to share with you a reflection based upon the shooting in America. And I know that doesn't always narrow it down. The Atlanta shooting. So the recent Atlanta shooting, when the son of a youth pastor walked into multiple massage parlours, three different massage parlours, and killed eight people, including six women of East Asian descent. And I'm going to share with you now a short video clip from the police press briefing, where they're talking about what the shooter was saying about why he had done this. So I'll just share this quick video with you.
he apparently has an issue, what he considers a sex addiction, and sees these locations as something that allows him to go to these places, and it's a temptation for him that he wanted to eliminate.
A temptation for him that he wanted to eliminate. We've got an externalization of temptation that dehumanizes the person, dehumanizes them, objectifies them to the point of justification of extreme violence. And we need to really guard ourselves against this thinking which situates temptation on somebody and blaming them, because left unchecked, that can lead to some unhealthy attitudes to begin with, and unhealthy attitudes that can fester, and that can fester into dangerous, damaging behaviour. And it doesn't need to get that far to still be problematic. It doesn't need to get to the extreme to show that people are blaming the object of temptation and rather going, I'm experiencing this, what should I do? And here we need to turn back to Jesus. And turning back to Jesus and go, what was Jesus's example of how to deal with temptation? And through all three different temptations about comfort, convenience, testing God, safety, risk, power and privilege, on all of this temptation, all the things that Jesus was facing, the response was the same. He responded with scripture. Even when scripture was being thrown at him, he responded with scripture. Scripture that prioritized relationship with God. Scripture that prioritizes loving God. Do not put the Lord your God to test. Don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. What we have here is Jesus expressing his relationship with God. As temptation was being experienced, as he was facing these various pulls on him, pulls on how his behaviour was, he turned, he orientated his perspective towards God. And that is the major takeaway. That's how we should respond to the temptation we face. When we face temptations, and for all of us, for me, for you, for people watching this on catch up, for all of us facing temptations, our temptations will be different. We will be tempted by different things. And it's worth spending a bit of time praying and asking God to highlight to us what are the temptations we're facing, temptations that are driving us away from God. And then coming to God humbly and saying, teach me how to rely on you more. So how do we do that? Well, it's pressing into God. And this isn't rocket science. I'm sure you would know what I'm saying here, that we need to press into God means we need to pray. We need to read the Bible. We need to worship with our community. We need to keep talking. For some of us, that may be our worship will be sung worship. For others, it may be contemplative and more reflective worship. There are different styles of engaging God with God, but all of them are rooted in that relationship with God, drawing close to God, so that when we face temptation, we don't try and deal with it in our own power, striving. We don't try and deal with it. We don't blame ourselves, getting into a shame cycle, pulling us away from God. No, instead, we draw closer to God. We guard ourselves from externalizing temptation and making the blame land on somebody else, and then leading us to us treating people unjustly, unfairly, and it's to its worst extent, dangerously. In all of the things, we turn to Jesus, we turn to God, we turn to the scripture. And this is hard. I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat it. This can be hard when we're in that moment of temptation, going, oh, I just want that comfort, I just want that. Or if we're in a work situation, we're going, oh, I could just grab a little bit more power. If I just speak ill of my work colleague, or if I just do that, maybe I should test God and put God to the test and see if I'm kept safe, and define my relationship with God about based upon a contingency of safety. All those temptations which can lead us into barriers between us and God. And instead, temptation, when we face it, we come out the other side of it. By turning to God, we've grown. We've grown. And as we've grown, we've learned more about God, and we can draw closer. Sometimes people may feel that temptation comes from Christ or comes from God. This thinking that, you know, it must be from God. But I just want to finish with just a reassurance that temptation doesn't come from God. So turning to 1 James, looking at verse 13. No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. So it's written there, it's clear, we know that temptation doesn't come from God. It's not coming from God. This isn't a test to see if we're passing something. This is a fact of living in a fallen world, which isn't perfect, where there will be things tugging us, pulling us to sacrifice, to downgrade our relationship with God for immediate earthly benefit. And as we turn back to God, we find truth in the relationship with God and power to deal with the temptations we face. I'm going to finish with a prayer. Lord, thank you so much that you shared with us in your scripture such an intimate moment revealing your inner workings, what you were facing, and how you dealt with it. Thank you for that. Thank you for that vulnerability, because, Lord, I pray that it gives us the courage to be vulnerable ourselves. Help us follow your example, not to keep our temptations secret, but to share them with people who can help. Lord, if any of us, including me, are facing temptations now, Lord, I pray you'll highlight that to us and motivate us to turn to you and turn to our community. Just as you shared and are vulnerable through scripture, help us to share and be vulnerable with the people that you've put around us. Help us to seek support for what we're doing or not doing. Guide us, Lord, in all of this. Lord, I pray for all of us listening now. I pray, Lord, that any truth that you're speaking through this morning's service, that you will help it to resonate in our mind, keep it turning over, and anything which needs to fall to the side, cut it away. Lord, I thank you that through our relationship with you, we have the ability to deal with the temptations we face. Help us to rely on you more. Amen. Thank you for this opportunity to share with you this morning. I hope it's been helpful. I hope it's been interesting. And I really look forward to when I can next visit you in person. God bless.